My dearly beloved in Christ, we have today on Quinquagesima Sunday, the last Sunday before Lent, the last two lessons of the Baltimore Catechism. Lesson 37 is entitled Prayer, and Lesson 38, which is very similar, is on the Our Father and the Hail Mary. And so we would like to take both of these lessons today and thus conclude with today our study of the Catechism. And I think it is appropriate that we discuss the topic prayer before Lent, because prayer is a penance. Lent is the universal season for penance, and we are told that penance can be divided into three works. The three great works of penance are prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Prayer includes any form of prayer. Fasting includes any kind of mortification, whether it be actual fasting or whether it be any bodily mortification, holding your arms out in prayer or kneeling for an extended period of time, all of that would come under the heading of fasting. And the third category of penance would be almsgiving, which means any acts of charity, whether it is giving alms or any other acts of charity. And so prayer is a penance. And it would be very appropriate for us during the season of Lent to add to our prayer life, if possible, or at least to improve it, to pray better. What is prayer? Prayer is the lifting up of our minds and hearts to God. In other words, we could say that prayer is conversation with God or attention to God, lifting up our mind, our heart to Almighty God, striving to unite ourselves with Him. Why do we pray? We pray first to adore God, expressing to Him our love and loyalty. Second, to thank Him for His favors. Third, to obtain from Him the pardon of our sins and the remission of their punishment. And fourth, to ask for graces and blessings for ourselves and others. These are the same four ends of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, if you remember when we discussed the Mass. First of all, adoration. We owe it to God to worship Him, to adore Him. He made us. He's our Creator. He's the Supreme Being. Number one, adoration. Secondly, we pray to thank God for His favors. We owe Him that debt of gratitude. Thirdly, we pray to make atonement for our sins, to appease God's wrath excited against us by our sins. And fourthly, we pray as a petition to ask for God's help, because without His assistance, we could do nothing. Is prayer necessary for salvation? Prayer is absolutely necessary for salvation. One who has reached the use of reason cannot be saved without prayer. Why do we pray for favors when God already knows our needs? God knows everything. Why then must we pray? We pray for favors not to inform God of what we need, but rather to acknowledge that God is the giver of all gifts and also to ask Him to assist our weakness. Almighty God has decreed, has planned that this is how He will give us His favors, by us asking for them, even though He knows what we need. This is His method. This is His plan. How should we pray? First, with attention. Second, with a conviction of our own helplessness and our dependence upon God. Third, with a great desire for the graces we beg of Him. Fourth, with loving trust in His goodness. And fifth, with perseverance. These are the five conditions of our prayer, if it is going to be heard and answered. We must pray properly. And that means we must pray, number one, with attention. Quite obviously, if we're not thinking of what we're doing, our prayer is not honoring God. Secondly, we must pray with a conviction of our helplessness, in other words, with humility. When we go to pray, we pray because we know we need God's help. We can't do anything without Him. We have a humble attitude. Thirdly, we pray with a great desire for what we ask. We need His help and we want it. And the desire is important. Fourthly, we pray with confidence, with trust in God. We don't pray for something and say, well, I probably won't get it, or probably God won't grant me this, but I'll ask for it anyway. That's not the manner in which we should pray. We pray with a great trust in God's goodness. And fifthly, with perseverance. We don't just ask Him once. We have to continue to ask for the graces of which we stand in need. What should be the posture of our body during prayer? And the most becoming posture of our body during prayer is kneeling, but we can also pray standing or seated. The important thing is the attitude of our mind and the dispositions of our soul. Now, the posture of our body affects the dispositions of our soul. And whether a person is kneeling or seated or even standing, for a person to be kneeling and slouching, or a person to be sitting and not sitting in a becoming manner, but slouching or leaning way back or leaning forward and not sitting in an upright, reverent posture during prayer, is going to affect our prayer adversely. It's going to prevent us from praying with the proper dispositions. How do we know that God always hears our prayers if we pray properly? We know that God always hears our prayers if we pray properly because our Lord has promised, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. We do not always obtain what we pray for because we have either not prayed properly or God sees that what we are asking would not be for the good of our soul. It would not be to our best interest. God always hears our prayers when we pray as we should, but if he doesn't grant our petitions, it either means we didn't pray properly or we did, but God knows what we are asking is not for the good of our immortal soul. Now, what is a distraction? A distraction is a thought that enters our mind during prayer concerning something else, something that has nothing to do with God or with the prayers we are saying. Distractions in our prayers are not displeasing to God unless they are willful. As a matter of fact, it's impossible to avoid distractions. Because we're human beings, we will never get to the point where we can pray totally without distractions. So the important thing to do is to not give in to willful distractions. You're distracted, you become aware of it, you fight the distraction, you get rid of it. I was told a story once of a man who had heard a sermon by a priest on prayer. And the priest was talking about distractions, on how it's impossible to avoid all distractions, unless indeed we are very great saints. But the important thing is to get rid of the distractions once we realize they are there. And this man went up to the priest after the sermon and said, I don't have any problem with prayer. I don't know why you say everyone has distractions. I can pray without distractions. And the priest said, oh, you can. He said, you're the first one I've ever met. He said, I'd like you to prove it. And he said, matter of fact, the priest said, it must have been back in the days before cars. He said, if you can pray one Our Father without distractions, I'll give you a horse. And this man thought, this is incredible. I mean, I would think he would ask me to pray a whole rosary or something, but an Our Father. He said, that's no problem whatsoever. You really will give me a horse if I can just pray one Our Father. And the priest said, absolutely. He said, all right. He started to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed. What color is it anyway? So he had hardly gotten anywhere in the prayer, and that's human nature. We all have distractions. The important thing, again, is that we fight them, and we never give in to distractions intentionally, which would be sinful. When we find ourselves involuntarily distracted at prayer, we should not be discouraged, but should try to recall our attention to our prayer and not attempt to repeat the prayers that have been said with involuntary distractions. Now, what about attention during prayer, the opposite of distractions? There are three kinds of attentions possible in prayer. First is attention to the proper pronunciation of the words. Second, attention to the meaning of the words. And third, attention to God. These are like 3 degrees. Attention to the letter, as we call it, means praying our prayers well, not cutting off syllables. Praying the words, saying the words correctly, and that's pleasing to Almighty God, saying them devoutly. Better than that, and the next degree up the ladder, is attention to the sense. Attention to the sense, which means, what do the words mean? We think about it. Very pleasing to God. And the third kind of attention, which is the best of all, and very difficult to attain, is called attention to God. And that means that we are united to God even though we don't think of the individual meaning of all of the words. You had saints who could say one line of their office and be united to God. That line would lift them up to God, and they would go on and pray the whole psalm and not even think of the rest of the words of the entire psalm, but just that first sentence gave them a thought that united them to God. And so they had reached that third and highest degree of prayer. So, for example, when you pray the rosary, you could strive to concentrate on the meaning of the words, or better yet, meditate on the mysteries. Even though you're not thinking of the words, you're meditating, you're praying, and that's the purpose. And there are two kinds of prayer, mental prayer and vocal prayer. Mental prayer is that prayer by which we unite our hearts with God while thinking of His holy truths. We also call it meditation. Vocal prayer is that prayer which comes from the mind and the heart and is spoken of with the lips. Now, all vocal prayer is also mental prayer, or it's not prayer at all. In other words, vocal prayer isn't just simply moving our lips. Our heart has to be in the prayer, or it's not even prayer. But we call it vocal prayer because set prayers are used that were written by saints or by the church. And that would be a vocal prayer. So the rosary is a vocal prayer in that sense. Mental prayer is, again, meditation. You can read something and you think about it. And then you talk to God in your own words. You strive to unite yourself to Him. You offer acts of adoration and thanksgiving and petition. That's mental prayer. And it's something, I must add, somewhat difficult to perform. Ejaculatory prayers are prayers also called aspirations, which are very brief, such as, My Jesus, mercy, Sacred Heart of Jesus, I trust in Thee, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I give You my heart and my soul, etc. And there are many advantages to ejaculatory prayers. First of all, they can be made at any time. For example, while working or walking along a street. Many of them are richly indulgenced, and the indulgences are granted by the church when they are recited even mentally. In other words, without moving the lips. Most indulgences, you have to move the lips when you say the prayers. With an ejaculation or aspiration, it is sufficient to think of it, to say it mentally. And it is very good to form the habit of saying ejaculations so that when we are experiencing temptations or special difficulties, then we will say ejaculations because we form the habit. And some people like to associate the recitation of an ejaculation with a physical action. So someone thinks, every time I walk through a doorway, I will say the names of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Or every time I go by a holy water fountain, I will bless myself with holy water. And then before you know it, it becomes a habit. And without thinking of it, you do it, and then when you say it, you realize you just are saying a prayer and you think of it. And so it's a means of recollecting oneself, to join a particular prayer to a particular action and form a habit of it. May we use our own words in praying to God. We certainly may use our own words, and it is well to do so often. You remember our Lord once said to the Pharisees, "You think that in your many words you please God." And our Lord went on to tell them that it is not in many words that our prayers are pleasing to God, but rather in what comes from the heart. And it should not bother us that we find it difficult to think of words in our prayers. God does not want a fancy prayer written with long words. He just simply wants us to express our own thoughts and intentions. We should pray particularly at what times? When we go to church, in the morning and evening, before and after meals, and in all dangers, temptations, and afflictions. So we should all say morning and night prayers, and it would be sinful to neglect prayer for a period of time, for a lengthy period of time. The prayers that every Catholic should know by heart are the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Apostles' Creed, the Confiteor, the Glory Be to the Father, and the Acts of Faith, Hope, Charity, and Contrition. How do we usually begin and end our prayers? We begin and end our prayers with the sign of the cross, by which we are expressing our belief in two great mysteries of our faith. First of all, we express our belief in the mystery of the Blessed Trinity by the words we say, because we say in the name, singular name, signifying our belief in one God, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. As we make the action of the sign of the cross, we are saying those words, so we express our belief that there is one God, but then we mention three persons in God. So we're expressing our faith in the Trinity, and we are also expressing our faith in the redemption wrought for us by Christ on the cross, because we sign ourselves with a cross to show our belief that by His death on the cross, our Lord redeemed us and reopened the gates of heaven. What is the special value of prayers recited in common? The special value of prayer recited in common by several persons, for example, a family, a congregation, is that our Lord promised his special blessing on prayer of this kind when he said, "Where two or three are gathered together for my sake, there am I in the midst of them." So it is very important that we pray, that we constantly strive to improve our prayer life, but even better, to pray in common, better even than praying by ourselves. So especially families should develop common prayer, and where it is possible, to have all of the members of the family, or as many as possible, recite their evening prayers, especially the rosary, in common rather than individually. Now briefly on the Our Father, why is the Our Father the best of all prayers? The Our Father is the best of all prayers because it is the Lord's Prayer, taught us by Jesus Christ himself, and because it is a prayer of perfect and unselfish love. It is the best of all prayers because our Lord himself gave it to us. It is a prayer of perfect and unselfish love because in saying it, we offer ourselves entirely to God and ask from him the best things, not only for ourselves, but also for our neighbor. So it's very unselfish. The Our Father is divided into seven petitions. The first three pertain to God's honor and glory. The remaining four pertain to our bodily and spiritual needs. We address God as our Father, a title that was not heard in the Old Testament, but which our Lord himself taught us to use. We say our Father because we belong to him, our loving Father, who created us and destines us to live with him forever in heaven. So our Father who art in heaven is our salutation, you might say. We say our Father and not my Father to indicate that all human beings are members of one great family of which God is the Father, and that we are obligated to pray for one another. Now then, the first petition, "Hallowed be thy name." In that petition we pray that God may be known and honored and revered by all men. The second petition, "Thy kingdom come," in which we pray for three things. First, that God's grace may be spread throughout the world. Second, that all men may come to know and enter the Catholic Church and live worthily as worthy members of it. And thirdly, we pray that all may be admitted to the kingdom of God's glory. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In this third petition, we ask that all men will obey God on earth as willingly as the saints and angels obey him in heaven. The fourth petition, "Give us this day our daily bread." We are asking God not just for material needs, but above all for the spiritual needs. And some versions in Scripture have, "Give us this day our super substantial bread," which means what is above nature. In other words, what is needed for the soul. Then we go on to say, "Forgive us our trespasses," or in other words, offenses, "as we forgive those who trespass against us," by which we pray that God will pardon the sins by which we have offended him, and we tell him that we are ready and willingly pardon our fellow men who have offended us. And you probably heard of St. Teresa of Avila. When someone offended her, she was happy because she said, "Now I can pray the Our Father with confidence," because she always forgave anyone who offended her readily. And so when she was offended, she rejoiced, thinking that now she would be able to say the Our Father and would be able to say to God, "Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who've trespassed against me," and that God would more readily forgive her sins and offenses. The sixth petition, "Lead us not into temptation." God never leads anyone into temptation, but by this we mean, do not allow us to fall under temptation. Give us the grace to overcome temptation. And the last petition, "Deliver us from evil." We pray that God will protect us from all harm, especially harm to our souls, and above all, the harm of eternal separation from him. The Hail Mary is divided into three parts. "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women," are the words addressed to Our Lady by the angel Gabriel. "Blessed is the fruit of thy womb," words spoken by Saint Elizabeth to Our Lady at the Visitation. And the last part, "Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen," was added by the Church, especially in proof of our Blessed Mother's divine maternity, "Holy Mary, Mother of God." And the entire prayer is very beautiful. Again, it is primarily the salutation or invitation addressed to our Blessed Mother from God by the lips of an angel. It is God himself speaking to our Blessed Mother. Some other prayers to our Blessed Mother approved by the Church are the Hail Holy Queen, the Angelus, the Magnificat, and the Litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, you know of other prayers. The important thing is that we pray what prayers appeal to us, what prayers arouse our devotion, our love of God, what prayers help us, that we do have a specific prayer schedule and that we're faithful to it. St. Alphonsus Maria Liguori, one of the greatest doctors of the Church, who is called the Doctor of Prayer because of the writings that he wrote on prayer, would be better if they said fewer prayers, but said them reverently. And secondly, we must remember that prayers said with the lips are of no value unless they also come from the heart. So to think of what we're praying, to make the effort to fight off distractions, not to get discouraged that you have distractions, we all do. As a matter of fact, one of the saints said that if we do nothing else in our prayers but fight distractions, those prayers are very pleasing to God. As long as we're fighting the distractions and trying to pray. So keep that in mind. And again, remember the great value of prayer. I think it is appropriate that we conclude the catechism on the note of prayer, lifting up our hearts and souls to God, just as we begin the catechism with a study of God Himself and His purpose for us. I hope that by reviewing these truths of our faith, it's been an assistance to all of you, as it is to me, every time we reread the catechism and study it and reflect upon it, because we can never read about our faith too much, and we always need to review. It would be well for you from time to time to review the catechism and to read spiritual reading books which pertain to these truths. With regards to prayer, there is a beautiful book now available at the center we're using for our confraternity meetings entitled Prayer, the Key to Salvation. And for those who feel they need more of an insight into prayer and how to pray properly, it's a very worthwhile book. So keep in mind the importance of prayer, and remember, above all, to persevere in your prayer. In the name of the Father.